Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Nicola.
And I'm Vlad.
And we have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about some cool hackathon stuff that happened this week. So, actually, is it this week or last week?
No, it was last week.
Oh, last week. So, last week was the Microsoft 1 Week Hackathon. And it was a great one. We actually had a lot of people be in the tent here outside, and we had people doing hacking, and they were creating new projects. In fact, there was one project that came out of this that, from actually not this hackathon, a couple of years ago, yeah. Right? That was about eye tracking. So there's this disease, ALS, right? That we've been trying to figure find ways how people that have ALS can actually interact with different UI and Windows and use the applications in Windows, be able just to live normal lives. And there was a project a couple of years ago at the hackathon where they came up with a solution where people that have ALS can actually use their eyes and eye tracking in Windows to be able to control their wheelchair and use the applications within and do actually use Windows itself. And from that project, we've taken it longer, we've taken it forward, and now in the next Insider Builds, or actually the Insider Builds
the
right now.
The one that you can download right now.
Correct. There's actually a way, if you have a third-party eye tracking device, you can actually use Windows 10 using your eye tracking device. It's built in into the platform.
This is amazing. I love it.
That's right. So from a hackathon project in 2014 all the way now, we've brought it in into as an actual product into the platform, which is really cool.
Tell me, what happened with your hackathon project?
So my hackathon project was actually me going into the different hackathon tents and eating all their free food and drinking all their free drinks and then going back to my office and doing some boring work.
Amazing.
How was your hackathon project?
I did nothing.
Okay, that's what I figured.
I was just working, you know.
It was just a lazy summer this summer, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so there's a blog post for this, so I recommend everybody go in and check out the blog post.
Yeah, speaking about devices, Surface Team actually introduced a new, what they call a Surface Plus program. And it's not just for consumers, also for businesses, which is an important thing. And essentially, Surface Plus program is a sort of subscription, right? So first, you can get your Surface without paying your money immediately. So it's just a 24 months payment plan. Second thing, you can upgrade your Surface after 18 months, which is quite short, given that it's like a full-featured PC.
That's
after,
right.
Yeah, 18 months, you can get a new Surface after that.
We've had Surface come out, what, every year? There's a new Surface coming out usually. So we had just had the new Surface Pro. Before that, we had the Surface Pro 4. So every year, we usually have a pretty decent upgrade from one Surface to the other Surface, right?
Yeah, and you also get the extended support. You get some benefits at Microsoft Store. So that's a really good thing, and I'm glad as a Surface user.
Do we know where this is going to be available? Is it just in the U.S., or is it also externally?
I think it's U.S.
Just the U.S., okay. So if you're externally, you're out of luck, basically. But hopefully, it will come out of U.S. as well.
Exactly. That's
pretty cool. Yeah. Now, there's one thing I want to cover here is actually on using Node.js on cross-platform using Chakra Core. And we just had recently had an update for Node Chakra Core. It's a whole blog post that talks about all the updates we've had and talks about how Node.js now is fully supported by, you can actually use Chakra Core to run Node.js cross-platform. You get Linux, macOS, Windows. In fact, you can actually use it on multiple, like a mobile device, you can use it on iOS. You can't, before, if you wanted to do Node.js on iOS, you couldn't do it because there's no jitting on iOS. And with Chakra Core, you can actually use the interpreter of Chakra Core to run this and the Node.js inside of an iOS application, which if you do like React Native, if you want to do actually package an application as its own standalone application with Node.js, it's not possible. So there's a lot of updates coming out of this team. They're talking about also how they're working to improve the Node.js APIs or the NAPIs and how to actually collaborate with the other companies that are actually building this API platform. So it's a great blog post that Arnesh has actually released on Windows Blogs that talks about all the new stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, I remember when Node.js, not Node.js, but Chakra Core became cross-platform and open source. It was about like 2 years ago. Probably 1.5. That was a big deal already. And then later they introduced, for example, React Native for Windows. And that was basically done, given that React Native initially depends on V8 virtual machine. And they just replaced it with Chakra cores, and then they did the same with Node.js. That's a big deal.
It wasn't perfect. I mean, they've been improving it over time. There were a lot of gaps in the platform, but it was a big feat actually getting it from running just on Windows to running across cross-platform. Yeah. Like, that was a big thing.
But even like Node.js team now is even more happy with Chakra as their JavaScript backend than V8.
Cool. So next story is about .NET Core. And recently, .NET Core, well, not recently, but a while ago, they started gathering telemetry. And they've announced that they're going to release the telemetry publicly. And recently, they've released the data they've collected as part of the .NET Core SDK. The telemetry they received, and it's public and now available as an open data. Mm-hmm. And people can go in and see all the data that has been collected. It's actually interesting to see what the data has, you know, they do some analysis of the data, but as a developer, you can query this data yourself, and you actually build on top of this data, and you can actually learn from this data yourself. And of course, the .NET team talks about how they've, what they've learned from this, and how they've learned things they were not expecting to learn, and what people are using it, and how they're using the platform, etc., which is interesting to see from the blog post they've released recently.
Yeah, one day they should start collecting telemetry on tabs versus spaces, so people don't ask stupid questions on Twitter.
Pretty sure they have that data. Wasn't there just recently a blog post somewhere that said that people that use spaces over tabs make more money? So I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's true. There was a release recently that was...
Tabs all the way.
There you go. Tabs all the way. You heard it here from Golnaz.
That's why.
Anyway, so there's a great blog post moving forward. There's a great blog post by Sam Basu on the Progress website that talks about XAML standard, right? So XAML standard was just recently announced and built as a new way to have a cross platform across
device, technology.
Sort of, a way to actually write XAML once and be able to, a different platform to be able to understand the XAML and render the right thing. And they're starting with Xamarin Forms and UWP. And Sam actually goes through, what does this mean? What are the discussions that are happening right now in the open? What's a good idea? Why is it, what might be such a good idea, etc. So it's a pretty large blog post that talks about all the different things that you might have wondered. What is XAML standard? What can I do to contribute to it? What are people talking about? Why is it taking so long to actually get anything done with XAML standard?
Why is it taking so long?
It is taking long because there's a lot of people wanting different things out of the standard, which is everything's explained in this one big blog post, which I really recommend people go read through.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So it's already that time.
So pick of the week. So my pick of the week is actually pretty interesting. There's this new project coming out of Microsoft Research called Project Snowflake. And it's about being able to do manual memory management in .NET. Now, as most people know, in .NET, we have garbage collection and it's automatic memory management. But Microsoft Research did a little project where they looked into, what if we actually have both? What if we add a way for you to do manual memory management besides actually have the automatic memory management, the garbage collection?
That's a big deal. I was waiting for it for years.
Yeah. So they created a way for you to actually be able to allocate memory yourself on a memory stack, and as well as specify memory that can be automatically generated. And they saw incredible improvements in both performance and the running set and all kinds of cool stuff, all kinds of stuff around .NET, which they have a whole PDF of all the work they've done. Hopefully this will become a real thing. Right now it's just a project, like a Microsoft Research project. Mm-hmm. They're just investigating and doing some research. Hopefully they can actually bring this into the product, because this sounds pretty cool.
We actually recently talked about some improvements they've made in CoreCLR, where they can do non-blocking garbage collection. And that was already a big deal. That's already there. And it's like, previously, if you have a lot of objects, let's say you're doing a game, and it's .NET based, like the Unity games, and you need to release a lot of resources, what Garbage Collector does, it basically stops everything, stops execution, and then does all these
It takes precious time away from your CPU to actually collect, you know, memory, so the release memory, which is slowing down your actual game or slowing your application.
You're starting like losing frames.
And you have no control over that, which is, and even if you try to actually take control of that, it's even worse because you're messing with the natural cycle of garbage collection.
That's even worse. Usually it's even worse.
Yeah. So this is great.
Yeah, it's a little better because they can do non-blocking garbage collection. But with this, when I can actually release a memory when I need it, especially because knowing what's behind, those may be like, I don't know, a lot of resources, like gigabytes of memory, textures, whatever. Like,
it's really, really cool. Really, hopefully resources. We'll see this actually come into the actual CoreCLR. Cool. Yeah. What's your pick of the week?
And let me talk about something that people are really playing with in real world. And that's actually, I'm really struggling to pronounce the name of this game. Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yu-Gi-Oh! Right? That's right.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah. There's this game called Yu-Gi-Oh! It's quite old though, right? It's from...
Well, it's a show. I think it's a show. I used to watch the show a bit. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I used to watch the show. It was really interesting. But these guys are making an unofficial game out of it.
Yeah, so you can actually have cards, you can play cards, you can play like all these, you know, characters, monsters that are corresponding to your cards, having like different powers and, you know, the way to fight your, you know, enemies. And it's all in real world with HoloLens. So they actually recorded a great video when they're in the park and just playing this game.
Yeah, there's like two of them, and it's a session between two people. And one person is on his side, a person is across them, and they have the cards, they lay down the cards, and the monster shows up, and they actually fight each other. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I like how this, you know, notion of mixed reality really becomes a truly mixed reality when you do it in real world. Like, in a way, it's just easier for you, right? You play games just being there.
Hopefully this will come to actual, even virtual reality headsets as well, so you can actually just play it in your house. With people remotely, even.
Yeah, which is totally possible because it's the same API set.
So you can just share the same code and be able to do this, which is pretty cool.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that's all we have today. So thanks everybody for joining us for another episode of This Week on Channel 9, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, and have fun.